Don't you just love the change of the calendar to December and Christmas? There's just something about arriving to church when the decorations have been put out and we begin to kind of turn our eyes towards all things Christmas. And I don't know about you, but I get a little excited. I get a little bit pumped about it. I also just enjoy all the different aspects of it. And as we turn our eyes towards Advent and the awaiting and the arrival of Jesus, our minds need a reminder of why we celebrate Advent. Advent is the time in which we are expecting the arrival of our Lord and Savior. It means coming or arrival. Because just as the people of God waited for hundreds of years for the Messiah, modern day Christians, you and me, we await the return of our Messiah. And so there is this unique aspect to Advent that the early believers were waiting and expecting. And we are waiting and expecting the second coming of our Lord and Savior. The beautiful thing is that we get to celebrate the first arrival of Jesus, the birth of our Lord and Savior. And so each week over the next couple of, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be spending a little bit of time focusing in on a theme within the Advent season. And today it is titled, It's a Time for Hope. Each year during this time, Christians around the world celebrate the season of Advent, the ancient word that is associated with the followers of Jesus that literally means the coming or the arrival. And this season, this right now, is a time of preparation. It's a preparation for our mind, our body, our soul, and our spirit for the coming and arrival of Jesus. In history, God's people anxiously awaited for the birth of Jesus because they believed it was their only hope for all things to be restored. And today we celebrate this by lighting the first of the Advent candles as we celebrate the birth of Jesus in his first coming and anxiously await his return. Jesus' arrival is the very thing that gives us hope. It is the very thing that helps us in our broken lives so that we can be made new again. This season is not an idle waiting, but it is an active participation. And so we collectively remember and think and look forward to what Jesus is going to be doing and representing to us. And so we recognize our deep longing for a Savior, and that we know that Jesus is the source of our hope. We wait for his arrival, and we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good to see your smiley faces this first Sunday in December. Can you imagine that it is December 1st? Wow, it just seems like the year has just trekked right along. And maybe you did this on Friday morning. You woke up bright and early and you already cranked on the Christmas music. Anybody? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anybody do it before Thanksgiving? Yeah. Oh, that's against the rules. That's against the rules. I don't know what you're thinking. Anyways, decorating for Christmas is a ton of fun, and I want to just thank those that were willing to help out last Sunday in getting our sanctuary set up. They did a fantastic job, didn't they? They really did. So thank you, everybody who helped out. It's kind of fun when you get to decorate different areas. This weekend, we were able to help out my mom and dad and decorate their home a little bit. And then yesterday, we decorated our house. Got the tree up and things like that. Anybody completely done decorating already? Nobody. All right. Well, you got a lot of work to do over the next couple of weeks. That's fun. It's good to just be kind of transitioning to an expecting, a hopeful, a a time where we just have our mind focused in on who God is. And I am just, I'm really excited about what God is going to do in this month. And I hope that you are as well. Just a couple of reminders for you. We have a QR code. You can utilize that at any point in time. Also with that QR code, you can use that to add prayer requests, or you can send those to me by email or give me a call. That would be fine. This Wednesday is our first Hope Kids and first Grab and Go meals for the month. A couple of reminders about that. If you are interested in helping out with meals for the Grab and Go meals, you can sign up right behind the Christmas tree behind the sanctuary. You can do that today. Also, just a reminder that Hope Kids starts at 6:30, and I know, kids, you want to be there, so make sure that you're there for that. And it's just going to be a good evening with not just Grab and Go meals, but Hope Kids and youth ministry as well. Normally, at this time of year, we have completely put on the tree right outside the sanctuary all kinds of little ornaments for our outreach opportunity. That will be coming as soon as we have the information, and we'll put it on the tree so that you are able to grab those items, make some purchases, and to get them back to us before we have our wrapping party. But just so you're not getting too concerned, it's going to happen. We'll have the ornaments on there. You'll be able to get them probably by next Sunday. And then that's an opportunity that we have to bless our community. And so be looking forward to that in the coming weeks. We put a December schedule / calendar together for you. That is either in the kitchen window or at the welcome table. It'll kind of give you the list of all the different things that are going on through the month of December, but it's also available on our church website, on the calendar, and then also on the church app as well. So check those things out so that you are not forgetting anything, because there's a lot of different things that are going on. Also, the other thing that we want to remind you about is that one thing that helps us decorate at the Christmas season is Christmas poinsettias. And so if you are interested in purchasing one of those in honor or in memory of someone, a loved one, you can do that. Forms are available in the kitchen window or at the welcome table, and fill them out. We're doing red colored poinsettias this year, and you can hand those to Andrea Brown. The cost is $12. So if you're interested in doing that, you have a couple of weeks to take care of that, but I would get jumped on it so that you don't forget. So take care of that today. Also, Advent devotionals. I sent out an invitation to everybody that I am a friend on the Bible app. So if you and I are friends on the Bible app, I already sent you an invitation to join an Advent devotional that starts today. If you and I are not friends on the Bible app, you didn't get an invitation, but you can do so by being a friend of mine on the Bible app. If you are thinking, I don't know what the Bible app is, I would love to talk to you about it right after church today, and we can get you all situated and connected to the Bible app, and then join us for the Bible app devotional that will run from now until Christmas Day. I believe that it's a 25-day devotional, and just a fun way for us to fun. It's a great way for us to be involved in the Bible and having a devotional, and all of us that are willing to read it together as we go along. So that's just a great opportunity. And if you are at all interested or at all confused by anything that I'm saying, catch me afterwards. I will walk you through it, and we'll make sure that you're connected. Something that I'm excited to tell you about that we're going to be doing this year is on December, I believe it's the 12th, we're going to be having a Blue Christmas reflective evening. It's going to be a little different than the previous years, but from 6:30 to 7:30, the sanctuary will be open for a Blue Christmas type of reflective evening. More information will be coming next Sunday so that you'll be able to make a decision on whether or not you want to be here. But the idea is that it's a reflective night. Christmas gets really busy. Christmas gets overly involved, and sometimes we don't have time to reflect on what God is doing. Sometimes we don't have time to reflect on some of the grief that we might be feeling, or some of the overwhelmed feelings that we have. And by having a place that is a little bit more silent, a little bit more prone to give us time to reflect, is welcomed at Christmas time. And so we're going to do that. And just mark it on your calendar for December 12th. We're going to dismiss kids for Children's Church right now. So kids, you're dismissed to meet your leaders, and you're actually going back for program practice. So it's not Children's Church, but head there now for program practice. And the rest of you, will you please join me in prayer this morning? Father, as we turn our eyes and our ears and our minds to the Christmas season, we ask, Father, that you would be very real to us, that you would be very evident to us. Speak to our hearts. Remind us of your closeness. Remind us of the hope that you want to bring us. And God, will you also just help us to know your presence? As we focus in on the coming and the arrival of Jesus, sometimes we need the reminders of your presence with us even now, that you are Emmanuel, God with us. And so, God, we pray that you would speak, we pray that you would lead, that you would guide. But we also ask, Father, that in the midst of where we're at right now, God, will you speak also truth to us? Some of us need a reminder that in the midst of our grief, you are present. I pray specifically for those that have lost loved ones over the last week or so. I think of Janice Bartholomew, Sherry Plow. Lord, the loss of a loved one is hard, no matter what time of year. But God, will you be with them even now? Even now in the in a Sunday morning when there's excitement about Advent, Lord, will you just be the source of comfort and joy? For others, Lord, we're waiting for news. We're expecting different things going on in our lives, and we just need the reminder that you are near, that you are close. God, we desire that your hand of mercy would be heavily upon us, and that your grace would go before us, and that your peace would be extended to us. And so we give you praise and we give you thanks. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Maybe you recognize that name. There's actually a new movie that was produced and is showing at different parts of the country. I think it's in our area. This is what he says about Advent. He says, the celebration of Advent is possible only to those who are troubled in soul, who know themselves to be poor and imperfect, and who look forward to something greater to come. This statement paints a unique picture, doesn't it? As we step into a new season, the season of Advent, we are gently reminded that in this time of year, there is a longing, there is something that we feel deep within our souls, a longing for hope in the midst of difficult times, a longing for peace while surrounded by chaos, a longing for joy when we experience heartache and grief, a longing for love when things seem absent, when love seems absent. Advent itself is a time for preparation. It's a time of expecting, waiting, a time of knowing that change is on the horizon. Advent is a time that we have all felt at some point in our lives where we are being prepared for something or other, where we are waiting and we find ourselves looking far in advance, expecting. Every time of year when I begin to do all the work that I need to do to get myself prepared and ready for Advent, I feel like I do it earlier and earlier every year. And it really makes my expecting and my longing and my looking forward really, really far. But I feel like it's a good thing for my soul to be able to look ahead and to take markers of what God is doing. And you get to do that exact same thing, because I believe that God is going to use this time of year for his good and for your good. And so I want to invite you to join in on this journey. And part of that is to be a part of the Advent devotional. It's a simple way that you can be connected to the body of believers. It's a simple way that you can be reading along with people and having insight into what God might be speaking to you through his word. Also, being a part of Sunday morning worship consistently is a great way to be connected as well. We're jumping into a new sermon series that is titled The Marvel and Miracles of Advent. And today we're talking about the silence, or the longing in silence. This sermon series is inspired by a study of the same name written by Lisa Harper and Christine Kane. They've been very helpful in helping me prepare this and get it organized, and also just putting my own hands into the mix here. But the idea is that we need to have a fresh look and a fresh understanding of the marvel and the miracle of Advent, because it really is a miracle when we think about it in that way. So today we're going to spend a little bit of time in Malachi. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Malachi. That's the last book of the Old Testament. We're going to give you a lot of context today, a lot of what's been going on around the people that that were influenced during Malachi's time, what was going on in that day and time. And Malachi is a work that was written after the exile, after the people of Israel spent 70 years living away from Israel, living in exile, away from the land that they loved, the land that was given to them by God. Their disobedience over the years previously resulted in them being conquered and taken away to a far-off land named Babylon. And while they were there in exile, the daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly routines, celebrations, festivals, practices of their faith were disrupted. The singing, the sacrifices, the worship, the time that they gave up in all of these practices was disrupted by the exile. Can you imagine what that would be like? Well, actually, you can. A couple of years ago, our ministry here was disrupted by a thing called the pandemic. And we don't look at that time lovingly, do we? We really don't. We don't look at those months of not being able to come to church on a Sunday morning and rubbing shoulders with our friends and talking to one another. We don't look at that time very lovingly, do we? No. there were things that we felt at that point in time. There was a little bit of disconnection. There was a little bit of disunity. There was a little bit of disconnection to all that we were feeling. And can you imagine how the Israelites felt? Their disruption, their physical separation from the community and the country that they loved, being taken to another far off land, unable to worship and practice the workings of God that they had been accustomed to, completely disrupted. Their way of life broken. Your way of life broken. Do you remember the expectation that you had and looking forward when the days of the pandemic would end? There was a little bit of a longing. There was a little bit of a, wow, when that happens, we'll get back to normal. After 70 years, when they returned, the expectation that they had for their country was high. They expected to return to something that would have been great. Something that would have been wonderful. Their communities that they knew were there, they could remember walking up the hill to Jerusalem and seeing the temple and seeing all the sights and the sounds and the smells. And for some, they remembered all of these things and they could not wait to return to what they remembered. For others, they were ready to experience what they'd been told. The sights, the sounds, the smells, and experience everything that all of their friends, their family, and the older community would tell them about. Can you imagine seeing the olive oil being pressed? Can you imagine the sacrifices that are being done in Jerusalem at the temple? Can you imagine the smells of burnt offerings going up to the Lord and all of that? And all of these things were talked about for many years while in exile, and their expectations while being so high. They believed that one day things would get better. That one day when they got back, everything that they were experiencing, all the discomfort, all the disconnectedness, all the disunity, all the brokenness would be wiped away, because when they returned, things would be better. And they longed for that one day when they would return. That it will happen. One day they will be able to return. One day God will take us home, back to Israel, back to Jerusalem. And when that one day happens, you won't believe it. How amazing will it be? And they just imagined it. How interesting is it that when we've experienced difficulty, when we've experienced pain, when we've experienced not necessarily being in exile, but without what we know to be normal, living without what we know to be typical in our lives, we have a little bit of a hopefulness about us. One day, it will be better. Have you ever felt this way? Have you ever felt that longing for something new, that something that will be better? What the Israelites returned to was not what they anticipated. After 70 years, what they expected was a city that was pristine, a temple that was standing tall in their community. And what they saw was their city practically destroyed. Their temple torn down and demolished, left in shambles. The sights and the sounds were not what they expected. They'd waited all that time. all that time expecting that something would be good and right. They had been expecting something drastically different, but their world didn't allow that to happen. And when expectations aren't met, how do we feel in those moments? Maybe it's a disappointment that sets in. Maybe a disillusionment. Maybe we begin to say things that we never thought we would say. Maybe we begin to say things to God that we never thought we could even utter or imagine in our brains. Have you ever expected or experienced your expectations not being met? Now, I'm not talking about when you were a kid and you didn't get the most amazing sled at Christmas time, or that, the Red Ryder BB gun? I'm not talking about those things. But the expectations that you have for relationships, the expectations that you have for family, the expectations that you have for your own spiritual life, the expectations that you have for things going on around you. Have you ever experienced life when your expectations aren't met? Or have you ever experienced a longing for something that just didn't happen in the time that you wanted it to? Have you ever felt the disappointment of delays or not having ever what you thought you needed? Whatever it might be, we can reconcile and we can understand where the Israelites are at, because their expectations, their hopes, their dreams for everything that they wanted in their return from exile didn't necessarily happen the way they expected. One, they didn't return in the timely manner that they thought. The lesson that God wanted to teach wasn't done yet, so they had to wait even longer. There's not very many of us that are over 70 years old or close to 70 years old. There's some. I'm just acknowledging that there are some. But can you imagine waiting for 70 years to go back home? And it just being delayed and delayed and delayed? Can you imagine when you do return home, what you thought you would see didn't happen? Malachi, this little tiny book, is written as a rhetorical disputation. That's fun words for saying that it's a dialogue between God and the people of Israel. It's a dialogue that takes place 70 years after the exile, and the people of Israel are feeling certain things. And this dialogue reveals the pain, it reveals the hurt and the honesty in the voice of the Israelites. For us, it sounds kind of strange to immerse ourselves in this dialogue, although it might be good for us to pull back the curtain a little bit and see into certain aspects of this conversation. And one thing that I hope that you get is that you appreciate that the Israelites didn't hide their emotions with God. They didn't have to come to God with a very happy and excited and disposition about themselves that was covering up what they were really feeling within them. Isn't it amazing that we have a God that is okay with us bringing to him our hurts, our pains, our expectations that have been crushed, and our feelings and our emotions that have been destroyed by things that have happened to us? Isn't it amazing that we have a God that has shoulders on him that is so big that we can lay our heads and cry? And this same God is the one who is hearing these words from the Israelites. God welcomes hard conversation. God welcomes hurt in our conversations and an honest response. God says this in Malachi chapter 1, verse 2. He says, I have loved you. These are the very first words that God says to the people of Israel 70 years after the exile, 70 years at the from the beginning to the end of it, and says, I have loved you. God expresses his great love. Yet the people, their response is, how? How have you loved us? Seriously? We hear that response and like we go to the creation, we go to the way in which God has provided, and we go to all that. These people are hurt and broken, and they're wondering, God, how have you really loved us? Have you ever felt that way before, where you are looking at the things going on in your life and you hear the words of God and he says, I love you, but you're like, really? I don't know. This is where the Israelites are at right now. And we would think that when we hear this of the Israelites, that God would say, oh, I'm done with you. Poof. No more. I don't know what that is. Poof. I just made that up. That was on the cuff, off the cuff right there. I don't know if that's the smiting work of God. Poof. I don't know. But wouldn't we? Wouldn't we think that God would be like, no, who do you think you are questioning me? But God doesn't. He hears their burdens. He hears their pain. He hears of their brokenness and their moments of frustration and their years of expectations not being met. And he is okay with their struggle. In fact, it seems like he invites it. It seems as if he is saying, you have things that are on your mind, bring them to me. It's okay. You have the same God that can handle your disappointment, that can handle your expectations not being met. You can take them to God. Looking ahead to probably some of the more Christmas-like verses at the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3, we'll get to those. But this is what they say. This is what it says in Malachi chapter 2, verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him? You ask by saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. Or where is the God of justice? Do you catch what's being said here? God's people are saying that we wearied you with our words. Well, here's the reason why we weary you is that you're not being fair. And maybe they're even wagging their finger at God and saying, you're not being fair. Yes, all of these questions are about good and evil and questions about justice. That all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord and he is pleased with them. Or where is the God of justice? It makes us recall a little bit about our own lives and our own times of life where we have uttered similar words about God's fairness. And wondered whether or not he really is fair. Or times where God may be a little, in our perception, unjust. because this or that or something like that happened in our lives. And maybe something going on in your life right now, you've had a similar conversation with God and you want to weary his ears with your questions, where you have felt that you've been betrayed or abandoned or hurt or dismayed, where a dream that you had is dashed or a hope is lost or a family member is sick or a loved one passes away or you are experiencing health crisis right now. In our own way, we've had these conversations with God, and I think it would be foolish for us if we didn't admit, yes, we have had this hard conversation with God. But this is where the people of God are at. They are wondering, will they ever be able to pull themselves up, pull their heart up off the ground, because things in life are just too hard. Well, I love, absolutely love Christmas. Christmas is also a hard time of year for me. Years ago, a hope of ours was lost in the loss of a preborn child. And while I have hope of a future, I also have sadness that every now and then just pops its head up because expectations weren't met. And maybe you have those same feelings and those same hurts, because we can understand in our own way. We can resonate with what they were feeling when our expectations aren't met. But this is the most Christmassy verse in Malachi, verse 1. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant who you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. God's response in all of this, in all of their complaining, in all of the saying the inner things out loud, telling God how they feel and what they are experiencing, God, in words of encouragement, has words to say that change everything, and it is this: Christmas is coming. Emmanuel is coming. The long dark night is ending. Hope is on its way. The longing is coming to a close. The Messiah is coming. Emmanuel is right around the corner. In your hurt, in your brokenness, in your disappointment, in your frustration, and in all of what you feel, is this not the greatest news? Is this not the best news that Jesus is coming? That Emmanuel, God with us, is coming. That the Lord that you seek is on his way. That changes everything, doesn't it? I shared it earlier. But this is what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said. Again, the celebration of Advent is possible only to those who are in troubled in soul, who know themselves to be poor and imperfect, and who look forward to something greater to come. Troubled in soul, is that you? Looking forward to something greater, looking forward to something better on the horizon. This is the message of Advent. Because in the times when we are most down and out, God still speaks. I remember a time when God was so gracious to me. I was in the beginnings of a transition period of life where God was closing the door in one chapter and closing the chapter in one part of my life and opening up another one. And there was a lot of unknowns and not really certain what was going on. I had taken all these teenagers, like a busload of them, to Louisville, Kentucky, and the whole trip I'm just processing, what is God doing? Because it's not known yet, but I know that there's a transition that is happening, and I know that it can go well, but I also have a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety, I guess, if that's the right term. But I was overwhelmed. We'd just gotten off of the Christmas season, and I don't think I really spent a good chunk of Christmas really focusing in on God. So I'd gotten all these teenagers settled, and we'd gotten to the conference, and the first night worship is just pounding in this massive arena building, and it's louder than loud, if you can imagine. And in the midst of all of the noise and all of the chaos, getting like 30 kids to the rally and all of that, worship is going. And I hear this overwhelming calmness in my heart. And it was God just saying, it's all going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. I'm in the throes of leaving a ministry and going to another one, and I don't know where. Living Hope wasn't even on the radar at this time. You didn't know I existed, and I didn't know you existed. And God, in the midst of it all, chaos, he speaks in a storm of teenagers. It's all going to be okay. My wife couldn't hear me, but I tried to call her. I think all she heard was, blah, blah, blah. But I texted her and said, God spoke right here in chaos and said, it's all going to be okay. You in your moment, you in your chaos, you in your brokenness, in your hurting, in your whatever it is that you are speaking or experiencing right now, will you hear God saying to you, it's all going to be okay? Because these words that God speaks to Malachi and the Israelites, of these words that really say, I'm sending my messenger. That's John the Baptist is on his way. He will prepare a way for me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant you desire will come. It is going to be okay. It is going to be okay. Wherever you are at, whatever you have going on, these words are words of encouragement, words of comfort, and these are the words that would keep the Israelites expecting to see God's deliverance for 400 years. We have to keep turning to the Lord. Because for 400 years, these Israelites would. They would turn to him because they knew something about him. They knew something about his character, and they knew something about his trustworthiness. And before I pray, I want to read to you Psalms, verses from Psalms that will remind you of God's character and God's trustworthiness. I don't have the words on the screen because I want you to just hear them, listen to them. If you need to, close your eyes and let the words just pour over you in your time of expecting so that you can know and understand the character and the trustworthiness of God as we long for him. Psalm 9, verses 7 through 10. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will govern the peoples with justice. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Psalm 40, verses 4 and 5. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. No one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Chapter 91. Verses 1 through 6. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress, my refuge, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Psalm 112, 6 through 9. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. He has scattered abroad the gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be lifted high in his honor. And finally, 143, 8 through 10. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. We close with these words of God's character and his trustworthiness, because sometimes we need to be reminded that in the midst of an expectation, in the midst of a longing, we need to know who and what we can trust, and that is God and God alone. Amen? Amen. As we spend time over the next 4 weeks celebrating Advent and Christmas, my prayer for you is that we would have a longing within us that turns to him always, always, remembering that we can trust that he is a God of good character. He is faithful to the end and will always keep his promises. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice in knowing your grace and your mercy. We rejoice in knowing that you are faithful and good always. That when we seek your face, when we trust in you, and when we keep within us the longing that we have for your word, for the hope that we can find in you, we can always be reminded that you are sending your son. Sending your son because he is the source of salvation, even for us. Lord, Advent is about the coming and the expecting return or the arrival of your son, but it's also about the return of your son. And we thank you for that, God. Speak to us mightily this season. Speak to us mightily. And we pray all these things in your son's glorious name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just a reminder for you that if you are interested in the Bible app devotional, send me an, and you didn't get an invite, send me that right away so that I can get you connected today, and then we can walk through this devotional together. So good to be in worship with you. Glad that you are here. Look forward to what God is going to do in the days and the weeks to come, and don't forget, calendars are on your way out, or check your app or the website for all the calendar stuff. Let's stand and let's close together and sing.